Well, we've been working on themes through the beginning of the year, through the summer, and I just kind of getting a little bit more comfortable when I'm trying, Lord, what do I preach about? What, just starting to kind of put a plan together to the direction, and those are the kind of things that your pastor does when he's not in church, trying to figure out, Lord, where are we going? What do we do? We do the outreaches, and we do this, and we do that. And at the beginning of the year, you know, our kind of purpose and vision was to just throughout the year of 2016, keep Jesus close. Because life throws you curveballs, and it's important that we keep Jesus close. Amen? Keep him close. Don't you start finding times in your life where you're just not as consistent with church or your Bible reading or prayer time. And it's so important that we shake ourselves off and get back on track. Amen? It's so important that you never surrender who you know you are in Christ Jesus. Everyone goes through stuff like that. But you come to realize that there's no better way to live than to know that Jesus Christ is first in your life. And that's what 2016, we need to keep Jesus close. And in the summer, we talked about being people of substance over style. You know, style means what people see on the outside. You know, Jesus made it clear he wasn't impressed with what was on the outside. He wanted to know what was on the inside. So I believe that in this place, there are people of substance. I believe there are people in this place who are not afraid to analyze their own hearts and set things right before the Lord, according to God's word. You know, your whole journey in life is about setting things right according to his word. Amen? I mean, nobody's perfect, right? If anybody's perfect in here, you might want to ask for forgiveness of thinking that. But nobody's perfect, and we're on a journey to set our lives according to this word. All of us. And people of substance are not afraid to admit that we're setting things right. We're on a journey. Some of us, you know, have figured out a little more than others, but it's not a competition. Oh, Sister So-and-so, she's holy. And whenever anybody tries to tell you that they're holy, run away. Amen? Amen. Well, I've been a person of God for 50 years, so I've got some real good advice to give, you know. I've always said this, and I used to say this at the prayer meetings all the time. If you need to put up a sign that says that you're a person of God, then you've got a problem. Because it should just be who you are, and people should know. Because of your love, and you care, and the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? That's what we mean by style and substance. See, people of style want to show it. People of substance live it. Amen? And I believe in this place, you're still coming because you came in the summer and heard the sermons about being real, being people of substance, and you're still here. So I know you're not afraid to look in your hearts and analyze it and to line up your life with this word. And the things that aren't lined up, you're not afraid to ask God to help you and empower you to overcome. And that's exciting because God can do amazing things with a heart like that. He can do amazing things. So that was our summer, and we have been challenged all summer to be real, people of substance, to set things right. And now I know you're determined to fulfill God's amazing plan for your life. Ultimately, what God does with people of substance, what he does is he's preparing you for a harvest. The harvest represents people that need to see Jesus in you. There's a harvest. There's people around your influence that I will never be able to influence. Or the leaders won't be able to. There's people around your sphere of influence. And God, as a person of substance, begins to grow in the Lord. What will happen is that he will be preparing you for the harvest, for souls that need to see God in you, Jesus in you, righteousness in you. He's preparing you for that. And many of you have encountered those moments when God just showed up and you witnessed to somebody and it impacted them. And you know it impacted them, and they received Maybe you invited somebody to church and now they're living a different life and growing. So the harvest represents people that need to see Jesus in you, so they may also find the one true hope of the world. That's the harvest. That's all the people, the loved ones that we have, all the people. The way God prepares us to let His glory shine through us, the way God prepares us is by changing us from the inside out, where the fruits of the Spirit become evident in your life. This is the process. Some of us get angry and we let the anger get too far, and then we hold a grudge, and we hold it. They deserve it. This justice. But we know what the Bible teaches us: long suffering, so patience with other people. And these are the things that as you keep growing in the Lord, and you get a little too angry or hold that grudge too long, you're going to start finding the Spirit of God checking you in these things and saying, hey, let it go. Love. Forgive. 70 times 7, right? Forgive. A day. It's 490 times a day. Forgive. So that's what He's doing. He's changing you from the inside out. The fruits of the Spirit. More love. More joy. More peace, just knowing that all is well, that God's got this. More peace, more goodness, being kind, more meekness, being humble, being gentle, caring for others, long-suffering, more of that. But Pastor, they deserve for me to hold a grudge against them. Look what they did. It was awful. They deserve it. More faith and more self-control. As you're growing in the Lord, the self-control, this is the part where we have sins in our lives and we don't have the power in our own ability to overcome these sins. Self-control means being able to go to the cross and say, Lord, take these. Empower me by your Spirit. Take these. Self-control, doing what is right and asking God to help you to get things right. So these things start becoming more and more evident in your life. And you can probably look back in the last 3 months, 6 months, or a year, and you could probably start looking, yeah, I can see that as I'm trying to get closer to God, I'm starting to, that's wrong. Oh, I got to fix that. I can't hold that grudge forever. The Spirit is speaking to you, because that's what God does. The fruits of the Spirit begin to grow. It's when we tell God, I don't want to analyze my heart, when we stop growing. When we tell God, I have every right to be mad at that, so I'm not going to forgive. And we start growing. We stop growing when we take that heart. So this morning, let it go. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. Grow in that area. And that's what God's doing. And while He's doing that, He's preparing you for the harvest. He's preparing for the harvest. So let's begin a journey this fall. We had a journey in the summer, and this fall, it's going to be a season that I've been praying about. Lord, it's preparing for the harvest. You know, that's what they do. You know, preparing for the harvest this fall. At the center of every movement, there must be a cornerstone. There's got to be a foundation. And there's got to be a cornerstone. At the beginning of every movement, at the center of every movement, there's a cornerstone. The stone that keeps things level, steady, and strong. And this cornerstone cannot be the pastor, amen, or worship leader, or youth leader, or leaders. Let me repeat that. This cornerstone that a church is built on cannot be a man or a ministry. It cannot be. And sometimes, you know, us pastors are guilty of thinking, wow, God's moving, it's because I'm good looking or something. No, it's not. Sorry. It's not. The cornerstone cannot be a man or a ministry. God's word makes it clear who the cornerstone is, and it begins in the Old Testament. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. So we're going to start a series this fall about preparing for the harvest, and we're starting with foundation. As a body of Christ, a body of believers, we have to have the right foundation to build. And when the harvest comes, they're not being thrown into something that's not real or stable. When the harvest comes and people begin to receive more of God in their life, they're shown to stand on a true foundation, on a cornerstone, just like you're doing. You're letting Jesus be, you know, this worship was just amazing, and it was the center of it was the name of Jesus. So appropriate with this lesson. It's Jesus. And right here in Isaiah, all the way to the Old Testament, it starts describing Jesus in this way. And let's read it. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. And this is after the people were still kind of rebelling, and they were complaining that they had nothing to stand on, and this is the response. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Isaiah saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So as they were complaining about the laws of Moses and the different things, God, through Isaiah, spoke these words. Okay, I'm going to give you in Zion, which is Jerusalem, the city of David, Zion, and Jerusalem. Through Jerusalem, I'm going to give you a stone, a precious stone, a cornerstone. And whoever believes in this stone, this cornerstone, will not haste. They'll be solid. They'll be stable. And this is the Old Testament prophesying, and then in the New Testament. So God establishes that in Zion, the city of David, a precious cornerstone is coming. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. We're told who this precious cornerstone is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, letting all that stuff go, the fruits of the flesh, and replacing it with the fruits of the Spirit, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. How do you grow? It just tells you right here in this scripture. As a baby needs milk, every one of us in this place, with that same passion that a baby cries for milk, every one of us should be crying spiritually, maybe not literally, crying for this word in our lives. Just like the milk from a baby. And isn't that really descriptive? When we check our hearts, do I really passion to understand God more by reading His Word? And that's why we teach in this church, you know, read your Bible and pray every day. Don't assume that what you hear on Sunday is just going to carry you through the whole week. It's a daily relationship. As newborn babes desire, then read the Word. If so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So can you visualize it? Not only do we have a cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. But we are lively stones being built on top of the cornerstone, and we're solid in Christ Jesus. Let me read verse 5 again. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. So we together are building a spiritual house on top of the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. So you can picture that. And that's what God's doing. All the churches, you know, all around the valley, all the churches, you know, there's those churches that are putting Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Something's being built that's solid. And it makes a difference in the world. So ye, to whom coming as unto living stone disallowed, verse 5 again, ye also as lively stones are being built a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, as we were praising Him and worshiping Him, those are like spiritual. That's spiritual. Just some of you, you know, had to sacrifice to get here this morning. Things happen, but you made it, right? Because you know where you want to be, where God is, and you made it. Spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God, to Jesus. And as we were worshiping Him this morning, you just felt the Spirit of God accepting the praises of His people. Amen. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. We just read that in Isaiah, and we're repeating it here in 1 Peter. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe in He is a precious, believe He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So those that don't understand that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, or live that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of your life, will stumble. They won't be able to get it right. They'll keep all these doctrines that are kind of out there, like, yes, I love God. And you're like, wait, that doesn't add up to what I read. Hold on, that's a little off, right? But when Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the Spirit reveals all truth to us. And in 1 Peter, it is confirmed and clear in Scripture that the one true cornerstone that Isaiah was talking about that gives us stability and a sure foundation is Jesus. This applies to us as a church. This applies to us as individuals, as families. The only way to stand strong and be people of stability is to have hope and let Jesus Christ be the cornerstone. As we prepare for the harvest, a foundation of it all for any movement is what the cornerstone is. And it cannot be a man or a ministry, pastors or leaders. It must always be Jesus and Him alone. It is Jesus. The job of a spiritual leader, of a pastor, is to shepherd people, to stay focused on the true cornerstone, Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, if you'll turn there. And I'm going through this morning because it's laying a foundation for what God's going to build in your life as a church, as individuals, as your family. That's important. What is being built for your family? What are you building? What are you building on? Your family, what are you building on? And so turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I wanted to bring this scripture out because I've been saying that the cornerstone cannot be the pastor. The cornerstone cannot be the leaders. It's got to be Jesus. Then you have a scripture here that says, obey them that rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. It's talking about leaders and pastors. That they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let me clarify. Obey a pastor in this case doesn't mean a pastor can tell you anything and you got to do it. Right? Remember, I kept saying, when you read the scriptures, make sure you read the whole content of it and not just one sentence. That's important. As it pertains to the preaching of God's word and spiritual matters and direction and keeping the sheep on a cornerstone, then that's when you obey your pastors or your leaders trying to keep you growing in the Lord. Amen? Sometimes pastors think that, you know, because of that, you have to listen to everything that they say, you know, that goes out more personal. And no, this is talking about, as a shepherd, spiritual things. Spiritual things. So obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. You know, every pastor, leader, when they, what their motivation is in leading you will be revealed. It's not our job or your job to figure out what that motivation is. God will, they'll have an account to God. Amen? And that's important, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So as the church works together under the direction and leadership of a pastor, work in unity so that there's no grief. It doesn't help anybody when there's grief in the church. Amen. And keep things in order. So I want to make the point that the leaders are not the cornerstone. It is Jesus Christ. But even with that, there is a respect and an obedience in the spiritual matters. A respect and an honoring that you give to people in positions in a church and etc. So that's important that we keep those two things in perspective. So, because someone can take what I just said, that the pastor and leaders are not the cornerstone, and say, I don't have to listen to you. I'm going to listen to Jesus. I've always been weary, let me put it this way, of people where pastors is maybe asking for some help, and they're like, well, I'm going to go talk to God and see what he says first, and then I'll get back to you, pastor. Okay. That's not exactly how it's meant. When it comes to spiritual church matters and servant hearts, the pastor shouldn't have to go asking, first of all. That people should be praying in their homes, and God should be putting in your heart where you should be serving. Amen? That's the way it should work. And but when the time comes when things need to be, okay, we need help in this area or that area. You know, I'm always weary of the ones, well, let me go talk to God first, and then I'll let you know. There's no obey and submission there as the Bible preaches it, teaches it, as far as work in the church, right? And it's important that pastors don't abuse, and that their heart is always about the sheep drawing closer to God. That's important. So I wanted to read that just to make that point that the cornerstone is Jesus, but there's scriptures, there's a balance here. Let me read in verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing and live honestly. So pray for your pastors and leaders. Pray for them. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of everlasting covenant. So though pastors are considered shepherds and leaders, shepherds keeping the flock in line with this word, it is also true that there's a great shepherd. Amen? And his name is Jesus. He's the great shepherd. And he's the one that we point Jesus to, pastors and leaders. He is the cornerstone. Make no mistake, He is the reason that we're here this morning. Amen. In scriptures, it is clear that we are supposed to honor and respect church leaders, obeying the teachings, serving church whenever possible. But verse 20 makes it very clear that though a pastor is considered a shepherd responsible for caring for the flock, there's a great shepherd in the name of Jesus. If you turn to John 14, chapter 6. Jesus says these famous words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to have eternal life. There is no other way. If you feel lost this morning, Jesus is the way. If you need a miracle this morning, Jesus is the way. If you are stressed and life has stressed you out, Jesus is the way. Amen. He is the great shepherd. He is the cornerstone of our foundation. Any movement that begins to move in godly things must be built on something. And what I feel in my heart passionate about is I want to do whatever I can to make sure that what's being built in a church, in your families, in your own hearts, is not a thought from man or ministry. It's about the chief cornerstone, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. He's got to be the center of it all. He has to be the center of it all. Turn to Matthew chapter 9 in closing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. This fall, we're going to be spiritually preparing for the harvest. And the first thing we got to make sure about this harvest is that it's being built on Jesus. Not on style. Not on perception. But on the true cornerstone. So as we prepare for this harvest, this fall season, we must not only say it, but live it in our lives. That Jesus Christ is the answer. Not just saying the words, but living it. That Jesus Christ is the answer. The cornerstone of our lives. Not just saying the words because you know it's true, but letting it be who you are. Jesus is the cornerstone of my life. This should be our automatic response to the world and those around us. Who are you? I'm a Christian standing on the name of Jesus. Amen? That's who we are. The harvest needs to see that there is hope in Jesus' name. The harvest, those lost souls that are struggling, they're not putting Christ first in their lives, they need to see people like you of substance that believe in their hearts that Jesus is the only answer. The harvest needs to see that you care like Jesus cares. Are you passionate for the harvest? Because along the way, when we first come to Christ, it's more about, Lord, I'm lost. I feel lost and I need to find a Savior and I need life and I need to see. You know, it's about us. About us getting right with God. And once we get there, it becomes about others. As you grow, it does become about others. First, He saves us, and then He uses us to save others. That's beautiful. That's just the way who God is. He cares. And are you passionate as you're growing in the Lord, as you're growing as Christians, are you passionate about others coming to Jesus. And I want to close with this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, because it shows how passionate Jesus was. But when he saw the multitudes, Jesus is there preaching and he sees a multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus looked at people, it was hot, people fainted, and it moved him. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few." Jesus was moved with compassion about people. Jesus saw people lost with no shepherd. He saw a bunch of sheep and there was nobody to keep the sheep from getting out of control. He saw these people who if they just had a shepherd, would love to just serve for the kingdom. But they had no way of being taught. And that bothered Jesus. He had compassion. He saw that they were lost and had no shepherd. And Jesus recognized at that moment, he was just one man, Son of God, miracles. But he saw that moment because he knew he was leaving to die. He saw at that moment, we need to pray for workers. We need to pray for the laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Well, that falls on every one of us in this place. Jesus cared. He was moved. He had compassion. So as we prepare for the harvest, number one, the cornerstone, the foundation of any movement needs to be Jesus, the real deal. Not a man, not ministry, not style, but substance in Jesus. It's time to care for the harvest. You are called to share with people around you the harvest. That's who the harvest is, the people around you that need Jesus first in their lives. That's the harvest. And you are called to go and bring forth some harvest. That in the name of Jesus, show them that there is hope. We are the laborers. Jesus prayed for laborers. I asked Michelle to come and get ready for some music. He prayed for laborers, you know. This morning, we need a few laborers to help with Sunday school, a few servant hearts. We need people willing to say, "Lord, I know it's going to be a little inconvenient for me, but I see the big picture. I see the harvest. I see the harvest." In the next few months, I believe that God's going to continue to work on us, to give us hope, to show us direction, but is going to be preparing us by the leading of His Spirit to have an open eye for the people who need to hear about hope. And some of you are, you know, you kind of got this down where you see someone and you just show them Jesus. You're going to start seeing more and more of that as you prepare your hearts to be ready for the harvest. For souls that are lost in the wilderness, God is preparing you to bring them in to the harvest. And it begins by not just knowing in our minds, but living in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the true foundation, the true cornerstone. And as we stand together on the name of Jesus, people seeking the truth will find it. When Jesus looked out And he had compassion on the people because they didn't have a shepherd. There was a lot of people there willing to surrender all to find the truth and the peace that's in Jesus Christ. There are people around you that once they encounter His presence, what you encountered this morning in God's presence as we worship together, there are people out there that if they just knew that that feeling His love and His presence was possible, they might not even understand it, but they would have a sense of hope and peace for the first time in their life. If they just knew, they would never let it go. And that's what Jesus saw. Sure, there are people you've been working on and they want nothing to do with God. You know what the Bible says? Keep loving them. Wash your feet and your hands and move on. And when they're ready, you'll be there for them. Amen? It is what it is. But there are people. And it doesn't matter if there are people we love and are part of our family. It's just a lost soul. That if they heard the gospel or felt His presence in worship, that they would never let that go. And for you, there'll be a crown in heaven waiting for you because you brought in. You planted and you watered and you did your part for the harvest. So this morning, I'm just challenging your heart once again because I know you're not afraid to look down in your heart. Do you have compassion and are you passionate about the harvest, about a soul? I've heard this many times, especially from Sunday school teachers, that as they begin to teach and show kids, they're like, I'm learning more than they are. Because there's something about giving and serving that actually feeds knowledge and wisdom back to you. Because that's who God is. He's, once you open your heart to serve, He fills you. God's preparing us to care for people that nobody else cares for. But it's, you're the laborers. You're the laborers. I'm going to ask Pete and Joseph to receive the bread. And Heavenly Father, we just pray at this time. We bow our heads, we close our eyes. Lord, we receive this morning that You are preparing us for the harvest. And above all, the movement must be founded on the true cornerstone, on a true foundation, Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. Lord, as we receive the bread this morning and we prepare for communion, we do it remembering this, that You are the cornerstone of who we are. And we're ready, Lord. We're ready for the harvest. We're ready, Lord. We're not perfect, but we're ready. Where You go, we go, Lord. What You say, let us say. Michelle, lead us.